Dear friends, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There are two phrases that parents know very well. If you're a parent here this morning, you probably use these phrases about 1 million times. And even if you're not a parent, you've probably used these phrases several times anyway. The first phrase is, cut it out. I cannot tell you how many times I have said, cut it out in my house. Sometimes I wish that I had a button that I could push that would just say those words throughout the house. Cut it out, cut it out, cut it out, right? So that's the first phrase. And the next phrase is similar. The next phrase that parents and others use a lot is, knock it off, right? That's a really common one as well. And when we say, cut it out or knock it off, we are not being literal with those words. When you tell someone to cut it out, you usually do not expect them to take out a pair of scissors or a knife or a scalpel, right? And similarly, with saying to somebody, knock it off, you do not expect them to pick up a club or a baseball bat, we would hope. So we are not being literal when we say these things, but we are being serious, right? These are English idioms or ways of speaking using the English language that use extreme language to get someone's attention or uses extreme phrases or ideas to get somebody to listen, to warn somebody of some kind of danger perhaps. And sometimes we might use these kinds of phrases to get somebody's attention in regard to how they're treating someone else. So if some kids are bickering back and forth incessantly, or if they're arguing about the last piece of pizza, or if they're arguing about whose turn it is to get on the Xbox, this is all hypothetical, of course, I'm just pulling these examples out of thin air. When they argue in this way, we might say to them, cut it out or knock it off. Other times, though, we might use these phrases if someone is at risk of harming themselves, if someone's being reckless, or if they're being foolish, or if they're putting themselves in danger, we might say, cut it out, or knock it off. If we care, we will find ourselves saying things like that. In our gospel reading for this morning, we hear Jesus saying things that we should not take literally, but we should take seriously. Jesus is using Hebraic idiom. In the language of his time, in the idiom of his time, just like in English, people often used extreme language to communicate something important, something urgent. And the first thing Jesus is concerned about is how his disciples are treating other people. He's concerned that their behavior and their attitudes might cause other people to stumble. Jesus says to them, if any of you put a stumbling block in front of any of these little ones, it would be better for you to have a millstone hung around your neck and to be thrown into the sea. Now, we don't use millstones. I know it's a brand of coffee, I think, still, isn't it? We don't really use millstones very often, but I've been to Bob's Red Mill in Oregon, you know, where they do the artisan flours and stuff. I've been there, and they actually have a real millstone there. And it's a very, very large stone that's been cut into a cylindrical shape, usually on some kind of a turnstile. And sometimes those can be cranked around with human effort. It usually takes a couple people to get those things cranked around. But in ancient times, it was more common to have donkeys to have to push those things around. But what it did was it had this big stone that would grind the grain down to a fine, fine powder that we know as flour. These millstones were used to grind things down to make flour. And even a regularly sized millstone is huge. But Jesus doesn't even call for a regular-sized millstone here. He says it would be better if there were a great millstone hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. I think you know what Jesus is saying here. If any of you have ever seen any of the gangster movies, you know what it means to weight someone down and throw them into a body of water. It is not a pretty picture at all. Now, Jesus is not being literal here, but he is being serious. He does want to be taken seriously. He is trying to get the disciples' attention. Because the disciples were bickering. They were bickering about other new Christians who were going around doing ministry in Jesus' name. The disciples, they thought they had a copyright on Jesus' name, apparently. They thought they had exclusive rights. And so they wanted to shut these other new Christians down. They didn't want anybody outside of their group using the name of Jesus. And Jesus says to them, are you crazy? I'm paraphrasing here a little bit. Jesus said, are you crazy? Don't stop them. Whoever is not against us is for us. And he says, don't you dare cause any of these little ones to stumble. Now this phrase, little ones, here is a little bit ambiguous. It could refer to these new people, these new Christians who are doing ministry, casting out demons in Jesus' name. Or it could refer to actual little children. Remember just a few verses before, as we heard last Sunday, Jesus had a little child that he took into his arms. It could go either way. It's kind of ambiguous in the text here. But whatever the case may be, whichever Jesus is referring to, the point is clear. If you cause any of these little ones, whatever they are, whichever case it may be, if you ever cause any of these little ones to stumble, you are in big trouble. Jesus cares about these little ones, and so he uses extreme language to stop them from stumbling because of other people. Cut it out, Jesus is saying. Knock it off. But Jesus is equally concerned about what the disciples are doing to themselves, about how they might cause themselves to stumble. And so he uses extreme language here too. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off, Jesus says. If your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. If your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It will be better for you to enter into life maimed than to have all of your body parts in hell. If there's any part of you, Jesus is saying, that causes you to stumble, cut it out. If there's anything that threatens your walk with him, well, just knock it off. Both in how the disciples are treating others and how they're conducting themselves as individuals, they are in danger here. They are in danger of turning away from Christ and towards spiritual death. Over these past few weeks, these chapters we've been hearing from Mark's gospel, we've heard how increasingly the disciples take on this scary mix of ignorance and arrogance. You put those two things together, it's never good. Ignorance and arrogance at the same time. And this is what the disciples keep showing. They've been primping and they've been posing and they've been jockeying for position about who's going to be the greatest. And all the while, they have no clue as to what Jesus is really up to. And their ignorance combined with arrogance has now caused them to lash out at others. They're starting to stumble now over their own sinful feet. They're causing both themselves and others to, potentially anyway, wander away from God, to wander away from Christ and towards spiritual death, towards hell, towards that state of total alienation from God. And so Jesus uses language that is designed to get their attention. Why wouldn't he? If he cared about them, of course he would. Of course he would be pleading with them to follow him into life instead of letting them wander off towards spiritual death. These sharp words of Jesus are not just a record of his past conversations with the disciples. We understand Scripture to be a living word. And so through the Scriptures, the Lord Jesus is speaking to us. He's speaking to us here this morning. And while we should not take him literally and start lopping off limbs, we should take him seriously. At a time when churches and individual Christians seem to be more and more competing against each other to see who can be biggest and best, to see who can get the biggest market share of a seemingly shrinking market, In the midst of all that, Jesus calls us today to be grateful whenever Jesus' name is made known, no matter who it is that's doing the talking. At a time when intense rivalries and bitter divisions in public life seem to be blinding us to the humanity of people outside of our group, Jesus is calling us to watch carefully how we treat others so that we don't cause them to stumble. How we treat each other, how we treat other people matters. And whenever our competitiveness starts to turn into contempt, Jesus says, cut it out. Whenever our loyalties to our group or our team lead us to demonize others, Jesus says, knock it off. But Jesus is concerned about what we do to ourselves, too. There are all kinds of things that cause us to stumble, our individual behaviors that might cause us to stumble. Maybe it's our hand grasping for something that we have no right to grasp. Maybe it's our feet leading us on a path that leads away from God. Maybe it's our eyes looking at something and coveting it for ourselves. Maybe it's our tongue cursing or slandering another. Maybe it's our mind racing to justify our own sinful attitudes and behaviors. Whether it's our relations with other people or what we're doing ourselves, Jesus doesn't want us to walk on paths that lead us away from God and towards spiritual death. He cares enough about all of us today to say, cut it out and knock it off. But Jesus loves us so much that he doesn't just leave it at that. Over the last few weeks in these verses, these chapters really from Mark's gospel, we've heard Jesus' call to the disciples intensify from week to week. It's been an exhausting few weeks to be a preacher, I'll tell you that. This fall has kind of felt like Lent to me with all the texts one after another. We're at a point in Mark's gospel where he's intensifying his call to the disciples because he set his eye now towards Jerusalem. Now, over these past few weeks, we've heard Jesus disclosing to them the real reason why he came into the world. And he didn't come into the world just to tell people to knock it off or cut it out. Jesus did not come into the world just to discourage sin. He came to conquer it once and for all. And he did this for all of us on the cross. On the cross, Jesus became the one who was cut out. On the cross, Jesus became the one who was knocked off. Literally. Now we are being literal. Our sin is not dealt with by lopping off hands or feet, but by Jesus' own willingness to let his hands and feet be pierced. Instead of our sin leading us to be cast into the sea, Jesus came to die in our place. Hell, that state, that condition of total alienation from God, it's a true and a tragic condition that we put ourselves in. But Jesus descended into hell for us. Jesus descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again in order to bust us out, in order to set us free. Are you still in despair over all of the ways that you stumble? Well, cut it out, because Jesus died and rose for you. There's all this talk about millstones and limbs being torn off and people being thrown into hell. Does it make you afraid? Well, knock it off. Don't be afraid. You are forgiven. You are forgiven for Jesus' sake so that you might follow him not out of fear of what he might do, but out of joy. Out of joy for what he has already done. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please stand as you're able as we sing our hymn of the day.